One of the big stories of this week was Aaron Alexis, the Navy contractor who went to the Navy Yard in Washington, D.C. and killed 12 people, injuring others as well, causing havoc and raising a lot of questions about how a guy with security clearance gets onto the yard even after reports of mental health issues. This is a guy who had been going to VA hospitals in Providence and elsewhere, Washington. He complained about voices inside his head. He said he was hearing vibrations sent through hotel room walls. He was paranoid that people were after him. After going to a couple of VA hospitals, doctors sent him home with medication, trazodone, which is a generic antidepressant widely prescribed for people who have insomnia. And the VA told him to follow up with a primary care doctor. When he would report to them that he was feeling depressed, they asked him, "Are you thinking about harming yourself? Are you thinking about harming others?" He said, "No, I'm just depressed and I'm anxious all the time." Now, there are questions certainly about how he maintained his security status through all of this, but there are also questions about how this goes on in many people's heads on a regular basis in this country. Here to talk about this is Rhonda C. Martin, who's a clinical counselor and a trauma therapist who's board certified in Homeland Security. Hi, Rhonda. Welcome to America Weekend.
Good morning, Paul. Thank you for having me.
How prevalent is this problem?
Well, the severity of this problem is actually not as prevalent, but there are lesser forms of it that are. So with this individual, at least from putting together all the different footprints that we've been able to see starting back in 2004 with him, it appears that the PTSD is something he was struggling from, not from his own issue with the military, because he had claimed that he had gotten it during his time in New York City in 9/11. So he was never deployed, so he doesn't have the PTSD from Afghanistan like many individuals do now. However, the prevalence of the severity that he has is quite rare. However, about 40% of cases with PTSD can involve hallucinations. And the report from Rhode Island from the police there in Newport stated that he was having those mental health issues, and really it seemed as though they were auditory hallucinations and then the tactile hallucination, which is when he stated that he felt the microwaves from a nearby room were harming him and creating his insomnia.
Okay, so when you have somebody like that and you're checking somebody like this out, I know there's a very, very thin line that you have to walk between how you are going to try to cure this person and how much you have to determine, is he a menace to society? How do you figure that out in a case like Aaron Alexis?
Well, in the case of Aaron Alexis, there were certainly quite a few mental health professionals through either the ER rooms at the VA hospital or psychiatrists that he had worked with. And in the reports, it appears that he mostly complained about the insomnia, which is it's a big problem in mental health, because if a person happens to be having a not-so-bad day, they will come in and they won't be having those type of hallucinations while they're sitting in the office, so we won't be able to ask them about it, and many of them will deny whatever is socially not acceptable, even to a psychiatrist, and they'll only present with whatever they feel is the most socially acceptable thing that they can say and still get help. So in this case, Aaron Alexis's primary complaint was insomnia. And the problem with that is that most individuals that get to a point of insomnia who have PTSD, throughout their PTSD, they know the baseline of what they usually experience, their avoidance and their anxiety and their depression and their stress that they have. And they also realize that there's a marked change with insomnia. Even a change of sleep of a few hours per night can increase the symptomology of PTSD. And it can also, the insomnia can also lead to increases in hallucinations and psychotic tendencies if a person is diagnosed with severe PTSD. So this insomnia piece that he sought treatment for is actually, it was very relevant to what happened, because probably without that piece, he probably would not have had the escalation of the psychotic hallucinations that ultimately would lead to the type of behavior we saw on Monday.
So there's no moment where, as a mental health professional, you can look at him, or frankly, at anybody else who's suffering from similar problems, and say, okay, this guy is going to kill somebody.
Not usually. And we have to ask them, and we have to ask them when we do their intake. So any person that's seen for the first time by anyone that's licensed in the mental health profession, they have to ask, are you a danger to yourself? Do you feel any desire to harm yourself? Do you feel a desire to harm anyone else? If you were going to harm anyone else, who would it be and how would you do it? And we have to scope the answers to those questions. But at the same time, if someone's coming in and they're complaining and all their talk is about how they can't sleep, and you keep asking them questions like this, and they say no, 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 no to them, there are some command hallucinations that you can see in a psychiatry office. And one of those types is with the command hallucinations, people who have this auditory hallucinations that get severe, these hallucinations tell them what to do. And most of what it tells them to do are just benign things like stand up, sit down, drink your coffee, go over and touch the doorknob. I mean, just things that would look silly when acted out and you wouldn't know why they were doing them. If some of these were prevalent and if they were being manifested in the office, that's when we could say, why did you just walk over and act like you were throwing a piece of paper away three times and you didn't have a piece of paper? I mean, we could ask them these kinds of questions, but if we don't see that manifestation of some kind of auditory command hallucination, it's something that they would have to reveal that they hear, and the voices that they hear are outside of their mind, outside of their head. So, I mean, in the same way you and I are speaking to one another now, Paul, and we hear our voices, this is the same type that they describe. So to them, it is a real loud voice that they would hear.
Whenever we hear about a case like this, Rhonda, the voices inside that person's head are always telling them to do something evil. We never have somebody say, yeah, I heard a voice inside my head and it told me to become a doctor or a chef or a teacher or something like that. Do people ever go into a mental health professional and said, you know what, I just got a great idea. Some voice told me to do something really good.
No, we don't. No, unfortunately, no. We don't hear that. And typically, there will be other kinds of voices, too, less severe, that people will report. Some people will come in and say, you know, I hear this constant voice that people around me don't like me, or that they're talking about me, or that there's something going on behind my back. And they will describe it and say it kind of sounds like a tape to them where they're hearing this. And if we look back in Aaron Alexis's past, it's very interesting because in 2004 and 2010, the two police reports going back to Seattle, Washington and Fort Worth, Texas, there were 30 days of time that had lapsed where he felt the construction worker beside his grandma's house in Seattle, Washington in 2004 had something against him or was talking about him or there was something going on. Then ultimately he shot bullets in the construction worker's tire per the police report in Seattle, Washington. And then if we go to the situation in Fort Worth, Texas in 2010, he felt that there was something going on between him and the lady in the apartment that was above him. And he ultimately was concerned about it, called the police, said there was noises, sounds coming from there, confronted her in the parking lot. She said she was scared. And then he ultimately shot a bullet through the ceiling. And there was, again, a police report made about that and an arrest, but no conviction. So because there were no convictions on either of those, it did not end up in a background check, which leads to a lot of answers that people are looking for right now. But arrests do not show up. Convictions do in standard background checks. So, but back to our point about the psychotic tendencies and the command hallucinations, and what generally comes before the command hallucinations is that tendency for a person to hear voices that tell them that people around them are talking about them or don't like them. So we know from looking at police reports that in 2004 and 2010, he had already experienced that.
I got to be honest with you, Rhonda. When I told a friend of mine that I was going to talk about this today, he said, why do we need to know about this guy? He's dead. The people he killed are dead. It's a tragedy. But why do we need to know about him? And I said, because there are going to be others.
Well, and because we, as many people as we can talk to and tell, and reach out to these people and try to get them help and be aware that when this stuff happens, people that come into our offices, they come in because they have no one else to tell or talk to about this. And it's okay to do that, and especially if you know that it is a person that maybe served time in the military and they're going through some PTSD. They did a lot of hard work. We owe it to them to reach out to them and say,
yep,
look, you know, let's go talk to someone together, and I'll go with you and make sure we tell about these things. Because if 40% of the cases have auditory hallucinations in PTSD, bit severe.
And we have a terrible problem with our returning veterans when it comes to these sort of things.
Oh, I feel so sad for them.
And the VA is going to have to work on that big time. Rhonda C. Definitely. Martin, thanks so much for joining me here today.
My pleasure. Thank you, Paul.
I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Networks.